Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Arrive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the power of prayer in my life and yours. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our physical wholeness and for our deliverance from sin, so that we can be made spiritually whole, God. Father, I thank you for your sending your son to destroy the works of the devil so that we can live life more than abundantly, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. God, I thank you for you giving us your word so that we can know what to do, how to do it, and understand how to hear your voice and how to understand the ways that you have worked in the lives of your people in the past, how you work in the lives of your people now, and what you are preparing for your people in the future. God, I thank you for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, and in Fiji. God bless them greatly. Expand their territory. Allow them to speak the word that they hear tonight with others so that they too can grow closer in relationship with you. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
And it's breaking. How about
chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. Our worship is shifting the Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. I worship. worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the power of prayer in my life and yours. And the reason we're going to be discussing the power of prayer in our lives is because it is essentially vital that we understand how important it is for us to continually be in prayer and then to understand our connection with one another as we pray in the Spirit, and also understand that before Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary for each and every one of us to have the Holy Spirit within us, it was only available for a few individuals to commune with God and speak with God in the way that we are able to do at any time of the day. So when you understand how powerful the privilege is, to understand that only for the past 2,000 years plus has mankind been able to speak with God since Adam sinned, and that before that it was 4,000 years of time where man was disconnected from God. And that's why you have to understand that prayer is vital to accomplishing your individual ministry, your purpose that God has called you to perform. And I know that praying is vital to accomplishing my individual ministry effectively because my orders and directives come from God. I must report for duty and call upon God for his direction regularly. When I convey my love and appreciation to my Heavenly Father, he responds with the same love that is often absent from those to whom he's asking me to minister to. Those who need God are often not prepared to reciprocate love until they've been delivered themselves. God loves me in a way that informs me of how I am to love others as I pray to him. I listen to him, and I obey what I hear him saying to me that needs to be accomplished in the earthly realm. If my prayer life was not intact, I would be so earthly minded that I would be no heavenly good. And God is trying to get heaven out of each and every one of us. And that's why we have to have a continual, constant prayer life, praying with our understanding and praying in the Spirit, speaking reverently and lovingly to my Heavenly Father, making my request known unto him, giving thanks to him, and then listening for what God is telling me to do next is a vital part of my teaching ministry that expands on a daily basis. And as you speak to God reverently and you speak to God lovingly and you make your requests made known to him and give thanks to him and listen for what to do next, God is going to bless your ministry. He's going to bless your family. He's going to bless your business, and he's going to expand whatever he's given you to do daily. And that's going to be a direct result of an active, intentional prayer life that is vibrant, that is intentional, that is real, that is personal. See, God sent his only begotten son to die for you and I so that he could realize his personal relationship with us and realize his ultimate goal, which is that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. And that's why each and every one of us now, we function as ministers of reconciliation. Every born-again Christian is a minister of reconciliation, and we're to be reconciling the world back to God. So when we pray in the Spirit and we pray with our understanding, we are reporting for duty. We are coming boldly before the throne of God to receive orders and instruction and direction and anything else that we need. Because, see, a soldier doesn't go to battle on their own dime. They don't pay for what they need. A soldier is provided for all of their needs. their food, their transportation, their weapons, their clothes, their training, their communications, their transportation. It's all paid for by the army to which they serve. So when you serve God, then God is the one who provides for you. But you have to report for duty. And what many people are asking for is they're asking for the provision without the purpose, without the assignment. That's why prayer is so necessary. Prayer puts you in the place to receive, puts you directly before the throne of God. So my job is teaching the written word of God, which requires an active prayer life in order for the spoken word of God to become the living word of God in my life and in the lives of others. My ministry of teaching faithful children of God who are able to teach others also is effectual as my prayer life is fully maintained in all aspects and dimensions of prayer. So I pray with my understanding, I pray in the spirit by speaking in tongues, and I make intercession for the saints as I do that. And this allows me to know that I am in the place to not only receive, but to hear God's direction, to hear God's instruction, to listen to when he tells me to stay still, when he tells me to move, when he tells me to sit, when he tells me to wait, when he tells me to endure, when he tells me to be patient, when he tells me to give, when he tells me to teach. See, this is a part of our relationship with God. See, relationship is based on communication. Prayer is the primary function of spiritual communication. So if you're going to pray to God, you have to pray in spirit and in truth. This means that when you pray in truth, you're praying the word of God. You are coming into agreement with what God has said, and you are communicating those things to him. And then when you're praying according to the Spirit, you are praying words that you do not understand, and you are making intercession to the saints. You are speaking the wonderful works of God. You are building up your inner man. You are speaking mysteries to God. You are doing so many things at one time that God knows you believe. God knows that you are concerned about building up your inner man on your most holy faith. God knows that your soul is prospering when you're praying in the spirit by speaking in tongues. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. It says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear." See, God knows what you need before you ask. It says that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. See, only God is all-knowing, present everywhere, and all-powerful. Those are the three qualities of God that make him God. God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, and God is present everywhere. So when we understand that God already knows, he is waiting to hear from us. The communication has got nothing to do with his distance from us. It is us failing to acknowledge his presence. And that's why prayer is so vital, because see, when you're praying, you are actively acknowledging God's presence. You are in a place where you're ready to receive. But look, it says, you know, for me, I do not recall a time when I felt disconnected from God when I prayed to God. But some people have felt disconnected from God at times. When I was at a fellowship with God, I was operating in my own strength, so I did not feel that I needed God's help. I felt like I could do it myself. This may be what people mean by feeling disconnected from God when they were doing their own thing their own way. After being chastened by the Lord, I returned to my Heavenly Father, and I knew that he always hears me, and that when I come to him in prayer, that he always hears me. I've had times when I have repeatedly prayed for specific things until I received an answer from the Lord. One time in particular, I was praying for my business to increase and for my offices to be restored. God answered me plainly that I needed to be exactly where I was, in my home, and that he would reveal why I needed to be at home doing my business. He did ultimately reveal his purpose for that set of circumstances. However, not until a considerable amount of time had transpired that required me to trust him entirely until I had received an answer. My business and offices have been restored, and God has placed my business offices at the best location and has allowed me to minister to others in ministry and business in dynamic ways. God is faithful and always working on our behalf. And see, that is one of the things that results from an active prayer relationship. An active prayer life allows you to know that God is faithful and always working on our behalf because you're always doing something while you're waiting. See, waiting isn't you sitting on your hands waiting for something to fall out of the sky. God is having you actively participate in the process of communicating and doing those things that will lead to full and total restoration. But most of what's going on is you're getting God great glory because people are watching your confidence in God. People are watching your faithfulness. People are watching how God is preserving you. And so then God is getting glory because people realize that if he can protect you and he can protect me, then he can protect them and he can bless them and he can strengthen them. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. It says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. See, that's the level of confidence we can have in God according to the promise that exists in his word. He says, ask. See, these are all verbs. These are all action words. He says, ask. Asking is a function of communication. So the one you're communicating to is the one you're asking. You're asking God. He says, when you ask me, he shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Intercession is vital in the kingdom of God because it facilitates the body of Christ being fitly joined together and fully functioning in a self-healing mode. Just as our natural body sends white blood cells to the areas that need healing in our natural body, intercession sends healing and restoration power to the areas of the body of Christ that need reinforcing and restoration. When we intercede directly on behalf of others in the body of Christ, we are obeying the scripture that tells us to comfort others as we are comforted by the Holy Spirit. Intercession is a selfless act of obedience and prayer toward those who are yet to enter the body of Christ, as well as those who are already in the body of Christ. When we know what to pray for, it is helpful to pray for the specific needs as well as anything else that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Usually we do this according to our understanding in our natural language. It is also needful to speak in tongues in our heavenly prayer language in the Spirit as we intercede for others because we don't always know exactly what the need is. However, the Holy Spirit allows us to intercede completely for others because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be prayed for. And it also knows what we need to know and what we do not need to know. Speaking in tongues is perfect intercession for the saints. So I encourage you to do this at all times as often as possible because you are functioning as a healing entity within the body of Christ when you're doing that. So I want to encourage you, think about this. What it says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it says, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive, right? So whatever you ask, all things whatsoever, see, God puts this in absolute terms. He doesn't put this in, well, you might perhaps possibly receive. No, he says, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. See, you will receive according to your believing, and what will show your, what will really be evidence of your believing is your prayer. You asking God, believing, allows you to receive all things that you ask. And see, God says when we delight in his word that he gives us the desires of our heart. So if what you have is what God desires, what you want is what God desires, it will surely be done for you. The relationship between confession and prayer is made manifest in one primary component, forgiveness. Forgiveness is required in order to be forgiven by God so that he will actually hear our prayers. In Zechariah 7:13, God says of his people, therefore it happened that just as you proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. See, God said, hey, I call out to you and you wouldn't hear me. So now when you call out to me, I'm not listening to you. That's a hard word, right? But God is saying, I need you to communicate. But look at what he says even more than that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, God says that if we forgive men their trespasses, that he'll forgive our trespasses. On the other hand, he also says that if we do not forgive men their trespasses, that he will not forgive our trespasses. The relationship between confession and prayer is a matter of obedience that results in creating a fertile condition of the heart to give God what he wants, as well as to receive from God what we need in order to fulfill our ministry of reconciliation. And you see, your confession and asking God for forgiveness is your confession to God. There is no, the only intermediary between you and God is his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we pray to God in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our intermediary. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. So we pray to God in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. That is how it's designed. That is how it works. That is what it is. And so this need to confess and pray means that when we do ask God for forgiveness, we are asking him for forgiveness in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and we are speaking directly to God. You don't need to go putting all your business out in the street telling people what you need, what you have done, what you need to be forgiven of, because it will surely be used against you. But if you speak to God in prayer, he says he is ready and willing and able to forgive you, because he already paid the price for your forgiveness with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, right? So if we desire for God to hear us, then we must listen to him and obey what he said in his word and forgive openly in order for God to reward us openly as he listens to us, because we listen to him. See, listening to God is what causes us to pray to God and speak to God and be available for God. And if you are trying to avoid God, it's because you don't want to do what God is about to ask you to do. Because, you know, God is always going to ask you to do something more than what you can do without him. God is going to require you to tap into the fullness of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit and get to work. And he's not accepting excuses. God is not accepting excuses because you stumbled, because you fell, because you lost your temper, because you did whatever. God says, I'm ready to forgive you at all times. As a matter of fact, he gives us new grace and new mercy each and every day. His grace is his unmerited favor that we get that we don't deserve. His grace is also his enabling power, so there's nothing he's going to ask us to do that he hasn't also given us the power to do. to get the job done. And he also gives us new mercy each and every day so that when we do fall, when we do stumble, when we don't get it right, we can get back up quickly and stop wallowing in self-pity and get back to work. But we got to ask. We have to come boldly before the throne of God and receive mercy to help in time of need. And then, in addition to receiving that mercy when we mess up, we have to equally be prepared to extend that same mercy to others. That's why forgiveness is so critical to this whole process. God says, if you haven't forgiven your brother, go forgive your brother. Then come praying to me because I'm not hearing you if you haven't forgiven your brother. And the reason for this is that God paid the ultimate price when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of you and I. And he paid for all of our sins, all of them. And so what he's saying is, I've forgiven you of everything. So there is nothing that any individual is going to do to you that is going to equal what you've done to me. So if I forgive you of everything, I'm going to require you to forgive everyone of everything they do to you, because you will never be offended more than you have offended me. So it is a matter of equity. It is us truly acknowledging the price that God paid when he sent his only begotten son to die for you and I, and pay for our physical wholeness with his broken body, and pay for our spiritual wholeness with his blood, his son's perfect blood. See, people often believe that repeating chants, sayings, slogans, and other ritualistic expressions of what God is wanting from us when God rejects vain repetitions of man's superficial sacrifice. The main reason that vain repetitions can short-circuit a person's prayer is that God specifically instructs us not to do this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. As I indicated earlier from the verse in Zechariah, if we want to be heard by God, then we must listen to God and do what he says. The other reason that vain repetitions are harmful in our prayer life is that it is a clear sign of our unbelief and lack of confidence in God to care for us as he promises in his word. God tells us not to pray like the heathen with much travail and repetition, because God says that he knows what we have need of before we ask. That was the first verse we read in Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. See, God is always ready to listen to us. He always hears us. God receives the prayers of the righteous, but that's why you have to know that you've been made the righteousness in God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what makes you righteous, and that's why you have to receive it. This is why we're directed to speak to God with grateful language as we make our petitions known to God. And lastly, to give thanks because we know that he cares for us and had already gone before us and ordered our steps according to his will. We know that the word of God is the will of God, and when God orders our steps according to his will, that's why we want to study his word, so that we understand his will. When we should be focused on praying the many promises that are found in God's word, we can get stuck like a broken record. And so God knows that we don't want to be like a broken record. That's why God directed us not to enter into this thing with chants and prayers and vain repetitions. We should be focused on praying the many promises that are found in God's word. When you pray the word of God, you are going to be blessed, and you're going to be able to see what you need, see what you want, see what you should be desiring, and loving, and you're going to be able to love God openly, because you're going to be able to know that God loves you openly. You're going to be able to speak to God plainly, and you're going to be able to thank God expectantly, because you're going to see how openly and plainly and expectantly God reaches out to you. See, God knows that he's given you his first and his best. God has not withheld any good thing from you, because he started by giving you his best, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that you could be worthy to stand before him. Look at what it says here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, 20, and this speaks to the need to pray with our understanding and the need to speak in tongues together when we are in agreement with one another. This says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they should ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This is Jesus Christ speaking. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, there I am in the midst of them. So what happens is that if two of us on earth agree as touching anything that we shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ is saying, my Father, God, is going to do for you what you ask of him in my name together. Because where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, there I am in the midst of them. So see, when one person is praying and two and three are gathered, the other two, one or two, should be speaking in tongues to themselves. And the one who is praying with our understanding is praying with our understanding. And the other two who are speaking in tongues to themselves are coming into agreement with the one who is praying with our understanding. And because Jesus Christ is in the midst and they're in agreement, whatever they're praying for is going to happen. That is what this verse is saying. And that is how you are prepared to move into this supernatural realm. See, it's often an overlooked form of prayer, speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit, as we call it. Praying in the Holy Spirit builds up your inner man in your most holy faith by maintaining a constant presence in the most holy place, the secret place, where we are before the throne of God and in the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ. See, we pass into the presence of the throne of God by passing through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that makes us worthy to stand in this place where Christ is behind us, the throne of God is before us. And when we are in that secret place of the Most High, nothing can interfere with our communion with God. Wherever we are, it's available for us to enter into this place by speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit, as they call it. And when we can do this out loud, we can do this to ourselves, just like you can say, I'm great, to yourself in your mind. You can say, I'm great, with your mouth. When our physical body stretches, it strengthens our muscles and prepares us to move out without injury. We're able to move without injury when we stretch our muscles. When we speak in tongues, we are stretching spiritually, reaching into the heavenly places and preparing to move throughout the earth without injury. In order to expand the kingdom of God on earth and reconcile the world back to God, we need communication with our heavenly Father. When we are praying in the Spirit, we're reaching up and pulling down divine instruction as we give perfect praise to God, as we give perfect prayer to God, as we intercede for the saints perfectly, as we speak mysteries unto God, as we speak the wonderful works of God, as we magnify God in our life. Praying in the Spirit draws us nearer to God so that he can be drawn near to us. Our inner man is less encumbered with the desires of the flesh because the Spirit is being actively engaged. We speak in tongues in order to do God's will, instead of allowing our mind to be idle and ready for some earthly impulse to direct the flesh to do what it wants. When we speak in tongues, the flesh is placed in subjection to the Spirit. See, because your mind's only going to do one thing at a time. It's not going to be operating in the flesh and in the Spirit. And this is one of the things that the Apostle Paul said. He said, I speak in tongues more than y'all. And I pray that you would all speak in tongues. See, that's a godly desire that God gave the Apostle Paul, that we all would speak in tongues. but for many reasons. Many of us don't. Sometimes it's simply wrong teaching. Sometimes it's a lack of believing. Sometimes it's a lack of instruction in the Word. And we're going to do something about that. And as we continue to teach what the Word has to say about praying in the Spirit, look at what it says here in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. See, if Jesus Christ said this, and he says it in absolute terms, then we have to know that prayer is how we make these things happen. And we are called by God to dwell in this spiritual realm, to dwell in the presence of the Most High by entering into the secret place of the Most High. And that causes us to need to speak in tongues, to need to speak in our heavenly prayer language. Look what it says in John chapter 14, verse 13. It says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So Jesus Christ is saying, whatever you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus Christ, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, God gets great glory out of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ doing what we ask his Father to do in his name. See, it's a process. It's authority. It is real. So I feel at perfect peace when I pray in the Spirit. This is my experience. I feel this way because I know that I'm in the secret place of the Most High and that nothing can enter into that space except me. This is reassuring because I can continually experience the presence of my Heavenly Father at any time, any place, and in any situation. I know that my Heavenly Father is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's present everywhere, so I understand that I am never powerless. I am never without knowledge. I am never alone. The peace of being able to focus on God in the midst of anything and the ability to find rest when rest would otherwise be elusive is an awesome way to stay happy, healthy, and strong, both physically as well as spiritually. So many illnesses are caused by worry, doubt, fear, and stress. That the tangible benefits of praying in the Spirit are without question to me because I abound in physical health as my soul abounds in spiritual health. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God promises. But when we get distracted by nonsense, and the devil has lots of nonsense out there to distract you with, then he's coming at your health. He's coming at your health. And see, Jesus Christ was beat three times with 39 lashes each time with a whip with pieces of bone and metal at the end of it that ripped the flesh and the muscles from his bones and tore him to pieces so that you could be physically whole, so that you could have health. And then when he was nailed to the cross and pierced in the side with a spear and his blood came forth, that blood paid for your sin, and he died, and he laid in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights before God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with you and I. For the first time in 4,000 years, mankind was able to speak to the Heavenly Father directly. And for the past 2,000 years, we've been able to do this, and so many Christians take it for granted. So many other Christians openly teach against it out of sheer ignorance. And so we need to get to what the Word of God is saying. In John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." See, abiding in the words of Jesus Christ, abiding in Jesus Christ, requires us to study his word, meditate upon his word, obey his word, do his word, believe his word. But you can't believe what you don't know. You can't do what you don't study. You can't pray what you won't read. So God is asking you to, you know, and if you can't read, there's a way. Our technology allows us to be read to by our devices, our phone, our computer, our laptop, our PC, our tablet, or you can call upon a fellow child of God and they will gladly read for you. But understand, abiding in Christ is important, and then allowing his words to abide in us is equally important, because then we know what to ask for. We know how to ask it. And it says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. See, God's trying to get glory out of us. Everybody thinks God is trying to get us into heaven. God is trying to get heaven out of us right now. And we're not letting that happen because we're not speaking in tongues at all times, because we're not praying with our understanding when we think to pray according to our understanding. There are times when God will tell you to just pray while you're walking around. There are times when God will tell you to pray in the spirit when you're just driving in your car. There are times when you're sitting in your living room and God will say, get on your knees and pray according to your understanding. There are times when God will say, lay on your face with your head to the north and pray according to your understanding. There are times when God will say, stand up and raise your arms in the air and pray in the spirit. God will tell you to pray in many different ways. It's not how you pray, it's that you pray. It is important to pray beyond your understanding, because your carnal man is limited in knowledge. Your carnal man is limited in wisdom, and your carnal man is limited in understanding. But your spiritual man is unlimited in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. When we pray beyond our understanding, we tap into the knowledge of God, which is unlimited and directed to us exactly when God needs it to arrive to us in order to have a measurable effect in the world and in heaven. See, when we speak in tongues, we're speaking into the heavenlies, the words that come from God to our spirit, to our mind, to our mouth, out of our mouth, into the heavenlies. If you ask many unbelievers where the devil is, they'll tell you that the devil's in hell. But we know that the devil is before the throne of God, accusing the brethren daily, because that's what the word of God says. And so when we know that's the case, you understand that there is something happening in heaven that involves the devil. That means it can't be good. And if the devil is daily before the throne of God accusing the brethren, he's getting permission to come at the weak. And Jesus Christ is presenting as the mediator between God and man. He's presenting his blood as that which makes us righteous, that which keeps us covered. And so he's asking us to tap into the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit so that we can have a measurable effect in the world and in heaven. This is what is meant when it says that the effectual prayers of a righteous man avail much in James 5:16. In order for prayer to be effectual, it must come as the direct result of our obedience to God and being faithful, available, and teachable. In order for the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us in all things, both spiritual and natural. If I'm praying in the Spirit beyond my understanding, then I'm able to receive a word of knowledge. I'm able to receive a word of wisdom. I'm able to discern spirits when necessary. When I'm praying in the spirit beyond my understanding, I can intercede for things that I have no knowledge of specifically, because I know that the power is being released to where I am directing my prayers, because the intercession is perfect, because I'm praying in the spirit. I am speaking in tongues. Praying in the spirit has elevated my ministry by allowing me to see God at specific times and seasons, operating differently in situations that require a new manifestation of God's power beyond what he has used in times past to respond to physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs. The power of God must flow in a place of peace, and the vessel of God must be in a place of power in order to fully operate in the grace of God's calling and commission for their life. I've learned to walk confidently in areas of concern, interest, and need that only I can walk in because God has ordained me to fulfill specific tasks that He has uniquely crafted me to fulfill. When I pray in the Spirit, it reminds me that I am not operating out of my own limited power and strength, but from that place of God Almighty's perfect power and strength, which guarantees me the victory that God promises in His Word, that He's allowed me the privilege of teaching to those to whom He's called before the foundation of the earth to be His sons. Faith, focus, and follow-through are essential aspects of walking by the Spirit and speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues daily allows me not to be distracted by men, money, situations, or any fiery dart of the adversary so that I can be resolute in my response to God for my will, for my life. I can be absolutely resolute in my response to God's will for my life and for the lives of others. If I'm going to teach faithful individuals who are able to teach others also, then I must be available for God continually. And praying in the Spirit allows me to confidently know that I'm truly available to serve the Lord at all times. I want you to think about what God is saying here and really what His Word is telling us when Jesus Christ says to us in John 16:23, He says, and in that day, He's speaking with His disciples of the days to come, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. He's speaking of the time after His crucifixion. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. And see, at this time, they'd only been speaking directly to Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. But Jesus Christ is speaking about what's going to happen after He is beat, after He is crucified, after He has been laying in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights, after God raises Him from the dead, after God sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. He's saying that in that day, after the Holy Spirit is sent to dwell within you and I, ye shall ask me nothing. See, we don't pray to Jesus Christ. We pray to God directly in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. You know, so many people wonder why their prayers are not being answered. If you are praying and you're praying to God and you're not praying to God in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, it is the same as if you filled out a letter and you filled out the envelope with all the information, the return address, the address to where it was being sent. You did everything that was required. You put the envelope inside, you sealed it, you put it in the mailbox, put the flag up for the mailman to take it, but you didn't put a stamp on it, right? You pray to God without praying in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and it is the same as putting a letter in the mail without a stamp. And that's why He tells us, look, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. In my name, we pray to the Father in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. We pray to God directly in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. The one mediator between God and man is His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the authority that allows us to boldly call on God directly and stand in the presence of God is the authority of the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So we got to get to it. That's John 16:23. Check it out. I didn't say it. That's what the book says. That's what His Word says. And He's like, you're going to ask me. In that day, you're not going to ask me anything. And at that time, His disciples were asking Him everything. He's telling them, in that day, you're going to be able to go to God directly in my name and ask Him for whatever you want, and He's going to give it to you. We need to know that. You need to believe that. You need to be teaching other people about that so that they can get their prayers answered and stop playing around. There's a video on YouTube about speaking in tongues that demonstrates that this is occurring in a part of your brain that is different from where language activities usually take place in the brain. This is powerful to me because it shows a measurable manifestation of a spiritual reality. that is understood only by those who believe and operate the power of the Holy Spirit, but is only visible to scientists by scientific measures as the result of technology. So when they use technology to measure what is physically happening according to the Spirit, see that when you're speaking in tongues, it's not happening in the language section of the brain. It's happening somewhere else, which means they can see something happening, but they can't explain it because it's happening somewhere else in the brain other than where it would be happening if it was just linguistic. Whenever I see these studies by scientists and archaeologists attempting to disprove the reality of spiritual matters, I'm always confident that true science always reaffirms what God has already stated in His Word. I did notice that the minister could speak in tongues at will, whereas there was a lady who had to get worked up in the spirit in order to speak in tongues. This is a manifestation of wrong teaching that limits the lady's ability to call upon God's power instantaneously, which makes her access limited to how she feels, if she can get up and dance around, or if she can find the right feeling to allow her to enter into the most holy place. But I'm going to use this in order to remind myself and others that they can access the Holy Spirit, the secret place of the Most High, and enter into the Holy of Holies at all times, no matter how you feel, no matter whether you're in bed, whether you can stand up, whether you can dance around, whether you can find the right feeling or not. You can enter into the secret place of the Most High at any time. Many believe that they must call upon their flesh to agree on a feeling that would afford them the access that they can call upon at any instant and be in the presence of their Heavenly Father. But the devil has many ways to attempt to limit the power of God in our lives. But the main way is a lack of knowledge, which results from the wrong teaching and ignorance that is often conveyed by people who just don't understand what God is doing. As a teacher of the Word of God, I will continually remind all that I come in contact with that the power of God is always available to them and that they can enter into that secret place of the Most High at any time they need for themselves and for others. So look what it says here in Hebrews 4:16. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, that's what I was saying at the beginning of the teaching. Is we have to be prepared to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy, and that requires humility. See, mercy is the judgment that you don't receive. Mercy is the whooping you don't receive that you do deserve. But God says because He's already paid for our sins, we have to pass through that blood of Christ boldly before the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, we are going to be able to extend grace and mercy to others as we receive grace and mercy from God by boldly entering before the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy ourselves. It's that type of boldness, it's that type of relationship that allows you to acknowledge God as your Heavenly Father and say yes to whatever God asks you to do. And the reason people don't want to go boldly before the throne of God is because they are afraid of what God might ask them to do, because they know that it's usually going to require them to go beyond what they're comfortable with, beyond what looks normal, because the power within you is not natural. The power within you is supernatural. And that means it always goes beyond what you can do without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you must be operating in faith, confidence, and trust in God, or you are not going to be prepared to walk into what God is asking you to do and receive the blessings and life more than abundantly that He desires for you. Look what it says in Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." See, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Your desires are going to be His desires, and that means that whatever you ask for is going to be done. Because when you come into agreement with God, it has to happen. Look what it says in Psalm 91:15. It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. See, one of the things about beasts, about lions, about those predators that are on the earth, even people, they look for the weak. They're going to attack the old and the weak. They're going to attack the ones who are less able to cause them potential harm and retaliate. And so even though a lion seems so strong, a lion is not guaranteed success just because he hunts, just because he's on the prowl. And so he's not going after the strong. He is trying to incur as little damage as possible in the process of trying to obtain a meal. So he's looking for the weak. That's why the Word of God tells us to let the weak say that I'm strong. See, you have to come into agreement with what the Word of God says about you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to know that what it says in the Word, where it says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's where you have to stay. That's where you have to be in your mind, so that you're not in that category of those who may be devoured, as the devil roameth around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? You have to be among those whom he may not devour, because although you may be weak, you say you are strong because you know that the power of the Holy Spirit within you makes you strong. God has you covered as your heavenly Father because he is all powerful. And so there is no doubt in your mind that you are cared for, that you are protected, that you are covered. So that's why we call upon our God, and we know that he's going to answer us. We know that he's going to be with us in trouble. We know that he's going to deliver us. We know that he's going to honor us because his word says so. Look what it says in Psalm 145, 18 and 19. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. See, God is promising this to you. And so you need to stand on these promises and understand that you are all-powerful. God, who is present everywhere, who knows everything, is ready. He's near you because you call on him. And because you call on him in truth, he's going to fulfill the desire of you because you fear him. And he's always going to hear your cry, and he's always going to save you. Look at what it says in Proverbs 15:29. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And so you need to know that you are the righteousness of God through his son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. See, God made his son, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, so that he could pay the price for all of our sin on the cross. He who sinned not was made to be sin for us so that we could be what we were not. We could become the righteousness of God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who was truly righteous in fact, a man who had not sinned, but was tempted in all things like we were, yet without sin. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. See, God is not all-knowing just to be all-knowing. He wants to have a relationship with us so that he can show us great and mighty things that we don't know. But you know what? If we are arrogant, we are prideful, if we are self-willed, we'll think we know it all and that we don't need to call unto God. We don't need to seek an answer from God. We don't need him to show us great and mighty things that we don't know because we think we know it all. So that's why God says in James that he puts down the proud, but he exalts the humble. And as you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you in due time. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So God is telling you that you're to pray secretly. You're to pray in private. You're to pray to the Father in secret. And your Father which sees in secret, because it's just you and God in communication. He says, he shall reward thee openly. See, so the evidence of your praying is not you putting on a show and production for everyone to hear. The manifestation of your active prayer life is God openly rewarding you. It doesn't mean that we don't pray publicly. But what it means is when we pray, we enter into our closet and we shut our door and we pray to the Father in secret. And our Father seeth in secret and rewards us openly. Look at what it says here in 1 John 3:22, and we're going to end here tonight. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So that is what allows us to confidently ask, knowing that we are going to receive because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We are asking so that we can do what God is requiring us to do to realize the purposes of his kingdom and to allow us to live life more than abundantly, because he's already paid the price for that to occur. So we want to get to the point where we know that we know that we know that we are the righteousness of God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and that God hears us. Our heavenly Father hears us when we pray. And so we have to get to the point where there is no doubt, there is no question. We boldly come before the throne of God to receive grace to help in time of need and to obtain mercy. And see, when we obtain mercy from God, when we get that non-whooping, when we don't get whooped and he forgives us, it prepares us to forgive somebody else. And that's one of the reasons why we really have to actively seek to master a lifestyle of forgiveness. There's a book by a man called John Bevere called The Bait of Satan that is a life-changing book. I highly recommend it. It will teach you how to avoid falling into the pitfalls of unforgiveness, because unforgiveness will lead you in a path of sickness, of depression, of mental illness, and other maladies that you need not experience, and put you in a place where you know your prayers aren't being answered because God said he's not hearing your prayers if you don't forgive. Matthew chapter 6. Check it out. And when you are in that place where you know God hears you, when you understand and acknowledge everything he's forgiven you for by being truly humble, by being truly repentant, by understanding that it's only through the blood of Christ that you are made worthy and you are accounted as the righteousness of God. See, God accounted Abraham's faith as righteousness. And see, your faith in God is manifested as you forgive others because you're acknowledging the price that was paid for your sin, and you're acknowledging your sin. You're acknowledging the fact that you have, in fact, offended God beyond your any ability you would possibly have to pay for whatever you have done against him. And when you understand how much you've been forgiven for, and you're truly repentant, then you are prepared to forgive others, understanding that there's nobody who's offended you that has offended you more than you've offended God. That's real. And you can obtain mercy from God because you are going to dispense mercy to others. You're going to be prepared to let others off the hook. You're going to be prepared to get past whatever happened to you, no matter how traumatic it was. And some awful things happen to us as people, and all of us, and some of us more than others. Some of us, just because the things happened secretly, doesn't mean that it impacted us any less than those who are openly humiliated, openly shamed, openly abused. But God is able to restore all of us, and God is able to provide healing to all of us. But we have to be able to forgive. We all have to be able to forgive, and we have to be able to forgive everything, the good, the great, the bad, the ugly, all of that stuff. God says he causes to work together for our good because we love him and we are called according to his purpose, right? So when we understand that the first and great command is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, the second command is to love others as you love yourself. That as you love yourself part is what many people they read past. They don't get it. God is literally saying, love me with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love yourself, because you can't love yourself unless you love God. And then love others, preferring the brethren, but even up into your enemy, love them. It says, love your enemies. Do good to them who spitefully use you. Pray for those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, right? See, somebody who's cursing you with their mouth, you're supposed to bless them. I've literally heard so-called Christians cursing people over the pulpit. And we know that's not godly. We're not to be cursing anyone. If God tells us to bless our enemies with our mouth, just imagine what we should be doing to everybody else. Blessing only. Vengeance is God's alone. So when we obey God, then we are able to forgive. And then God is able to openly forgive us as we openly forgive others. And we don't have to be walking around with our head hung down, wondering about whether somebody's talking about something we did before we were saved, or even something that we did in after we were saved, in our spiritual ignorance or immaturity or just pride and self-will. And see, God has a way of chastening us. It's interesting because when people read that scripture where it talks about how Jacob God loved, but Esau he hated, but you hear how blessed Esau was with stuff, but how Jacob was chastened over and over and over, and he wrestled with the Lord's angel, and he was limping afterward. And see, what you see with Jacob is God was actively involved in his life and chastened him because he loved him. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And Esau was left to do whatever Esau wanted to do because Esau didn't believe he needed God. Esau was a mighty hunter. He was a mighty warrior. He got things done. He conquered Nimrod. He handled business in the earthly realm. But you know what? He didn't think he needed the things of God. He thought that the spiritual things and the power of God were of little use to him. And he was among those who would say, "You're so heavenly minded, Jacob, that you're no earthly good." That's foolish nonsense. And people who buy into that kind of thinking are limited in their understanding. And that's exactly what God is trying to reverse in your life. That's why you need to begin to pray according to the Spirit. You need to begin to build up your inner man on your most holy faith by speaking in tongues so that you can enter into that secret place of the Most High by walking through the blood of Christ into the presence of the throne of God so that Christ is behind you and God is before you and nothing can enter into that secret place. You are in a place of confidence and power and praise and purpose and privilege as a child of God. So I just want to encourage you to boldly walk into the power of prayer in your life and pray for me that I increase in the power of prayer in my life so that I can continue to do what God has called me to do to his glory and to the glory of the kingdom. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth to your people, God. I thank you for you blessing them. I thank you for you strengthening all of our brothers and sisters in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, and in Fiji. I thank you for you continuing to expand those countries that hear the word that you give us each and every Tuesday as we study your word on Tuesday night teachings. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network with Tuesday night teachings and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
from you.
Keep my heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
Keep my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide there.
Peace in my heart, Lord.
In my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
oh, Increase.